US, back in the USSR. Well, the delivery girl's really knocked me out.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Nina Kresheva, who's a professor in the Graduate Program of International Affairs at the New School and a senior fellow at the World Policy Institute. She's also an editor of and a contributor to Project Syndicate and is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and the author of Imagining Nabokov, Russia Between Art and Politics. She's currently working on a book, The Lost Khrushchev, A Family Journey into the Gulag of the Russian Mind. Welcome to Background Briefing, Nina Kresheva.
Thank you.
And in terms of the gulag of the Russian mind, we had a marathon press conference today in Moscow where 1,200 journalists locked in a hall with Vladimir Putin for 4.5 hours with no breaks, while the Russian leader expounded and opined on all kinds of subjects, including whether or not the world will end tomorrow on Friday, as anticipated in the Mayan calendar. I'm pleased to report, Nina, that Putin has said no, that the world will end in perhaps 5 billion years or maybe 3 billion years from now. So you can.
He was showing off he's good at math.
He also offered Russian citizenship to Gerard Depardieu, the French actor who's leaving France because he doesn't want to pay taxes. He said if Gerard really wants permission to live in Russia, he can count on a positive response from the authorities. So is he turning Russia into a tax haven on top of everything else?
Well, you know, he's a jack of all trades. He knows when the world ends or doesn't end. He suggests that Belgium, where Gerard Depardieu is going, is not as good as Russia, because Depardieu is very much beloved in Russia as an actor. He was talking about America. He was offering his opinions of Syria and Libya and signing cards to children whose birthday it happens to be today and whatnot. He's really acting in this remarkably, I mean, I love the music that you started this segment with back in the USSR. So he is that kind of leader. He's really, the Soviets used to say about Joseph Stalin, he is the friend of athletes. He is the father of all children on earth and whatnot. And that's exactly what Putin was showing in the 4.5 hour briefing with journalists.
And, of course, just like in the Soviet times, a lot of the journalists were complete sycophants and were groveling before the leader. One of the journalists said Putin looked strong and handsome despite rumors that he'd been in ill health. And another said that Russia should rename the disputed Kuril Islands, claimed by both Russia and Japan, the Putin Islands. And, of course, Putin very magnanimously said, no, I think we should call them the Pushkin or the Tolstoy Islands.
Well, Russia is big on culture. We don't have politics, but we have art as it used to be through all our dictatorial regimes before.
So, Nina Kresheva, just turning to the content in the press conference, even some of the state journalists who are, of course, pretty much circumscribed and, you know, controlled by Putin. Nevertheless, there were some tough questions. And Putin was asked about this law that they're instituting to prevent Americans from adopting Russian children. And one of the questions was that why is Putin making the most destitute and helpless children into instruments of political battles? And then another question was called the law cannibalistic. And all this is happening, of course, live on Russian television. But Putin's answer was bizarre. He said that this is because the United States is humiliating Russia. And do you think that's normal, he demanded. What's normal about being humiliated? You like that? What are you, a sadomasochist? The country will not be humiliated. I mean, we know what he's talking about. He's talking about this other law, the Sergei Magnitsky law, right?
Well, that's what he explains as a response of the Russian Duma to have the adoption law for the United States to prevent Americans from adopting children. And Putin himself actually didn't say that he supports the law. He said he understands why the Russian Parliament, in fact, put it forward as a position which they hope to sign into law. Because if the United States, with the Sergei Magnitsky law, and just to remind you listeners, it is the law that was in honor of Sergei Magnitsky, a lawyer for a British-based firm who was accused of embezzlement, which is, you know, a typical Russian response to anybody who tries to be whistleblower against corruption, and then was ultimately killed in prison because he was provided no help to his health, and he was in very bad health. So he died in 2009, and the United States, of course, pushed the law through, and now there is a Sergei Magnitsky law, which is attached to Russian trade agreements, as it was in the Soviet Union, by the way. So there was another...
Right, the Jackson.
The Jackson-Vanik Amendment, right. The human rights law attached to various economic or financial dealings. So, of course, the Russians, who were totally incensed that the United States is meddling in its human rights affairs, decided that they are going to hit America with, eye for an eye, and so they set up this anti-abortion law, so the United States families cannot adopt Russian children. The problem, of course, is that the United States pushed the law against various state officials who were participating or preventing Sergei Magnitsky from getting. Help and assist him in his sickness, because these were really official dealings by the state institutions, prison, the hospital, the legal system, and whatnot. But with the adoption law that the Duma is trying to push through, and Putin is sort of lukewarm but saying, I understand why the Duma wants to do it, is, of course, a pure revenge, because, of course, I mean, bad people are everywhere, and sometimes bad people adopt children, and children do die. So this is just a very imbalanced, political payback.
Sure, but in the last 20 years, more than 60,000 Russian children have been adopted by American families, and 19 have died. The law that we're talking about, that really is why Putin is angry, in 2009, Magnitsky discovered that a group of Russian officials had stolen $230 million from the Russian treasury. And these people, these tormentors are still around. He's dead. And the law has been passed sanctioning these people. But doesn't it lead, Nina Khrushcheva, to the broader question of what is going on with Putin and this sensitivity, if you will, allegedly over foreign meddling? But it really gets to the heart of what kind of regime he has. I mean, there have been trials in Russia, in London, over the Litvinenko affair, that indicate that what's going on in Russia is that Putin is essentially the capo di capo. He's the head of a kind of organized crime organization. He sort of regulates organized crime, if you will, and he's the boss. And it seems to me that what really gets under his skin when anything indicates the kind of corruption that involves stealing $230 million from the state treasury, that's okay, but to steal $230 million from the state treasury, but it's not okay to adopt Russian children. I mean, go figure.
Well, but that is exactly the problem with the Russian state, is that, I mean, I wouldn't go that far as to say it's a gangster state, because then, we're just very frivolous in our definitions. But it is certainly state capitalism, and in a formula of state anything, when there is one formula, I mean, the state formula controls politics, economics, and whatnot, There was no free enterprise or regular freedoms the way they understood in a democracy. Of course, then anything that is done against the state, and almost every single action of anybody who criticizes the state for its own corruption, then becomes an insult. And Putin is taking it this way. And as I said, although he was, he really was not openly supporting that law, he says he understands, and he himself is very peeved, which, by the way, is always, I mean, it's not just the Putin-Russia response. It has always been a response of first Russia, then Soviet Union, and now Russia again, to anything the West does to remind Russia that it's not perfect. It's that greatness that it keeps sort of referring to and talks about, you know, kind of that reference to the Tolstoy Islands and, you know, how great we are. And every time there is a reminder that, in fact, Russia is less than perfect and has a lot of issues, especially human rights issues. Of course, the very peeved response by any Russian, Soviet, and now Putin leader is always, who are you to tell me how to run my government? And that's what he was basically referring to, is that it's not, that's why he called the journalist sadomasochistic, is that even if you are speaking for the United States, or at least agreeing with the United States, you by definition become an enemy, because the enemy of my enemy, or the, for whatever it is, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and vice versa. So if you are a friend of my enemy, then you're my enemy too.
But anybody who stands up and talks about corruption and takes on the government is pursued.
Immediately shut down.
Well, look, it happened to Alexei Navalny, the guy that coined the phrase that Putin's party is a party of thieves and swindlers.
And crooks, yeah. Crooks and thieves.
Yes. So, well, Nina, I thank you very much for joining us. I stand corrected. It's not a government of gangsters, but it certainly is not.
It's a very corrupt government.
Yes.
It's a very corrupt state that we are not disagreeing on.
Yeah. Well, let's stay in touch, and I hope next time we talk, we have some better news to talk about.
Well, I hope so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Again, I've been speaking with Nina Khrushchev, who's a professor in the Graduate Program of International Affairs at the New School and a senior fellow at the World Policy Institute. She's also an editor of and a contributor to Project Syndicate and a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and the author of Imagining Nabokov, Russia Between Art and Politics. And she's currently working on a book, The Losh Khrushchev, a Family Journey into the Gulag of the Russian Mind. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me. And the conversation continues at Ian Masters facebook.com/IanMastersMedia. And I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.